All right, so I have a teaching here that I want to bring, and it's called Blameless or Hopeless. Blameless or Hopeless. I want to talk about this. It kind of came up recently. I think it's an important topic. We're going to focus mainly on the blameless part, but unless we're blameless, we are hopeless in eternity. This whole idea is our ability via Christ's work, the gospel, we preach it all the time, his shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection, and repentance to him and what he's done, and born again by his Spirit, and we walk in holiness and obedience, and we endure to the end. This is the path to being found blameless, or we're going to be hopeless before a holy God on judgment day, and we're going to lose our soul. The Bible warns about weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal destruction. So this topic came about because recently a young brother who is diligent at obeying God's word and growing in it was concerned after he discovered that there was an area that needed adjusting, and he was concerned that he was no longer blameless now to go forth and preach the gospel, witness to people, edify the body with studies. And even after he repented and we corrected and we got that area right, we all were, myself included, responsible for kind of overlooking some things that needed to be corrected. It wasn't willful sin. It was just a matter of a new person teaching. It's on the front of my website, don'tperish.com. You can see Brother Tupos repents. Go listen to that article. It'll be up there for a few more days at least. But anyway, he was worried about if he's still blameless. And so I encouraged him that if we repent and we cleanse ourselves in the blood of Christ, we definitely are blameless. We'll get to that in a little bit here. So the main point of this teaching is to understand and encourage a blameless behavior and ways in God's people. We all have to have our sin atoned for. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. And we need those sins covered before a thrice holy God. We must be blameless before him, either by Christ's blood and our own actions as fruit of it, or we're going to be hopeless in eternity. First and foremost, we need Christ's perfect work applied to us. That is the path by which we even are made eligible for eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have no hope without Christ. We don't work our way to heaven. We've all ruined our perfect righteousness, but we're working for the one who made the way for us. He alone was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. And we, as I just preached the gospel, have to be born of him, cleansed in his blood, looking for the hope of the resurrection that he gave us. We need that applied to us. This is the striving. This is the fear and trembling. This is working it out, as Paul says, because of what Christ has done. Now, because of what our glorious Savior did, his work for us, John tells us what we do to apply it. It's not just he died, everybody gets it. Doesn't work that way. 1 John 1:6-7. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We have not the truth. So if you claim to be of God and you live in sin, willful sin and darkness, you're lying. The Bible says that. 7. But if we walk in the light, that would be the truth. That means don't keep willful sin. And he, as he is in the light, Christ is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his son, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see that faith in works, faith in him, faith in what he's done. We got to walk in it. We're cleansed. Faith and works go together. It's all over the Bible. It's all over my teaching blog. Don't listen to anybody that tells you grace alone, faith alone. It's not true. We're in a covenant. We each have a part to do. Christ did his perfectly. We have to do our part, and then we can be cleansed. Praise God for that. We need Christ's perfect work and born of him, and then fruit walking in his ways to get that cleansing. Go read John 15. We will bear much fruit and abide and remain in him. Without him, we could do nothing. So we need him applied to our lives, what he's done. And then that obedience that pours out from us is the fruit that we know him. Otherwise, we're hopeless. So that's where the hopeless part comes in. And the wrath of God is coming. 1 Thess 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that we don't have to suffer the wrath of God because of Christ, the gospel, his perfect work, our response to him, to repent and seek him, and his grace and mercy that gives us faith, gives us the Spirit, gives us endurance, gives us repentance. It's all of our Father, and it's us working with him in our will, bent towards him. Paul talked about the hopeless people. 1 Corinthians 15:13-14. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ not be risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is in vain. Vain means hopeless, useless, worthless. We don't want to be vain. We don't want to be hopeless. Our hope is in Christ, so we don't have to be hopeless. Philippians 1:6. I love this verse. Being confident, did I say Philippians 1:6? Yeah. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to do his work in you. That you can be promised. But it's no guarantee of eternal life, because we have to work in unison with him. But we can rest knowing God's going to work in us. So let's look at some more scriptures to bolster our understanding. Now that we talked about how we don't have to be hopeless because of what Christ has done, let's look at some scriptures on blameless to understand it. As we walk in Christ via the gospel, as I said, we have our part to do. It's a blood covenant. He did his perfect. We have a part to do. We're following after him. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. That's a verb. That's an action. And God requires that we do that. Go read in the Bible about Adam in the garden, Noah with the ark, Abraham and the covenant, Israel and their Torah law, and then the New Testament covenant. Go read how we all always have a part to do. God's covenants are always conditional. And so us being blameless before God is important, because we have something to do. We're called to obey God because of what Christ has done. Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So here's where the blameless comes in. We covered the hopeless. We covered what Christ did for us, so we don't have to be hopeless. Let's talk about blameless. At first, before we cover that, James 1:27. This is kind of our charge, if you think about it. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Unspotted, irreproachable, without blame. So it's kind of like another way of saying blameless. I wanted to throw that verse in there. Unspotted from the world, that's our charge. We don't want to be spotted up by the world. We'll be full of blame. We want to be unspotted by walking in his Spirit, his word, and his ways. So let's get to blameless. Matthew 12:5. Or have not ye read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Luke 1:6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. That was talking about John the Baptist's parents. Blameless. Ampemtos. It means blameless, faultless, unblameable, irreproachable, deserving no censure. It's like deserving no correction, no rebuke, free from fault or defect. Right? So it's to be without something to accuse you of that you're currently doing. Think about that. It doesn't mean that you've always been perfect and never done anything wrong. That's where the cleansing of Christ comes in. That's where repenting from any sin comes in. We don't live in willful sin. God cleanses us, puts it away, remembers it no more, and we go on. That's how we're blameless before him. That's how we can be blameless before people. They'll say, hey, you used to do that. Yeah, I repent of that. I don't do it no more. You're blameless. You stand before a righteous judge in a courtroom. Hey, didn't I see you 5 years ago in my courtroom? Yeah, Your Honor, that was a crime I never do anymore. And I'm sorry I did this when I sped. I don't normally speed. And the judge goes, okay, well, you were blameless the last 5 years. Maybe I'll give you a pardon on this one or a probation on this one. So it doesn't mean we've never created or had a shortfall, had a sin, or had an issue. Sinless perfection doesn't exist, only in Christ. He was perfect. But it calls us to turn from and leave all of our false ways. It calls us to repent. Okay? Blameless doesn't mean that we're perfect in every way. Even though the Bible does call us to perfection about over 20 times in the New Testament, but that perfection is complete and mature. How can you be complete and mature? Well, this young man I'm talking about is becoming more mature because he saw what the issue was. We all corrected it, and now we're all more complete and mature because we corrected it, and we're blameless when it comes to that issue. So I hope you're seeing the picture here. We have hope in Christ. We're not hopeless. We're blameless because we made correction. Why does this matter? Hebrews 10:26, famous verse for us, very important. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. So you can't be blameless as you live in sin. You got to repent and put that sin away. So complete and mature, that's the call to perfection. That kind of goes along with blameless. If we're complete and mature, we're not going to have a lot to be blamed about. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God's going to make us complete and mature. That's the sanctification process. So let's look at a bunch of verses on blameless now that we kind of have an understanding and a hope of what we're doing in this blameless way. 1 Corinthians 1:8, who shall also conform you unto the end, confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a dual work. Christ working in us, us working with him. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So if we're judging ourselves harder than anyone else judges us, and we're growing and we're complete and mature, people won't have a lot to come and rebuke us for. We can be blameless. Even if we've had issues in our past, we put them away. We judged them. We took care of them. They're under the blood of Christ. And we're working through the book of Revelation verse by verse. We're only in chapter 2. But we're already seeing Jesus rebuking his body for what they had wrong. So rebuke is a good thing. Proverbs 9 talks about a wise man loves a good rebuke, and that's how you find yourself blameless and faultless, by testing, taking rebuke, correcting yourself. Back to the word verses on blameless. Philippians 3:6, concerning zeal, persecuting the ecclesia, the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul was talking about his standing as a Torah man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, look at the call here on God's people. So many churchy people say, we don't have nothing to do, you don't have to do anything, you can't do anything, God knows you're a big sinner. Brother just brought an article on God's people are not called sinners, they're called saints. We can fall into sin, we can choose sin, but if you don't live in sin, you're not a sinner, you're a saint. If you live in sin, now you're a hopeless sinner set for the wrath of God. You need to repent, become a blameless saint, washed in the blood of Christ, putting away everything you know that is faulty, errors, sin, then you can be blameless. Here talking about leaders, deacons, 1 Timothy 3:10, and let these also be proved, then let them use the office of deacon to be found blameless. So if leaders are to be blameless, I think all the rest of us should be striving for that as well. They're supposed to be examples of what we should be. 1 Timothy 5:7, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Yeah, this word appears quite often. Going back to leaders, Titus 1:6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. It's talking about an elder leader or teacher there, elder or leader. 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, God rewards those that diligently seek him. We can be rewarded with the cleansing of Christ and then discernment, and God will convict us by the Spirit, and brethren can help us, and then we can walk blameless for God's glory. God's word is very clear on this topic, on his people walking blameless. Christ was the only, as I said it, perfect, sinless Lamb of God. We need that for our salvation. Can't work to get that. But he calls his people to this complete, mature blamelessness. Unless we come to him in a humble, contrite heart, and we repent and we flee all unrighteousness, we're not servants of sin, we're servants of Christ in obedience, that's the fruit that we know him. Otherwise, as I said in the beginning of this teaching, we're going to be hopeless, hopelessly lost. Look at this verse, or these verses, Romans 6, 16 through 18. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. See that? Sin leads to death. Obedience leads to righteousness. If you're obedient in all your ways, you're going to be blameless. Going on, verse 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, there's that word, obeying, faith and works, from the heart the form of doctrine, that means instructions, which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I love that. So if we want to be blameless, we got to be a servant of righteousness. That's the key. Following Christ, following the Spirit, following the Word, associating with godly saints that are striving for the same things. And guess what? Take heart, all of you and me and my house. If we've sinned, if we've fallen short as saints, I'm speaking to the saints here, and we've had fault on our path to following Christ, we can still go on through repentance, through that cleansing, to become complete and mature, and in time, ever more blameless in Christ, for Christ, through Christ. It's all about Christ. If you're striving, testing, with fear and trembling, to obey him, keep his word every day, as you seek the kingdom of God, that's the fruit that you're a child of God. So ponder this blameless versus being hopeless. And via Christ's work, the gospel that I preach to you, you can have that blameless standing before God. And each day, week, month, and year, you can grow in your completeness and maturity, be blameless before God, and that glorifies our Father in heaven. That's my teaching you today. I hope you're striving to be blameless. If you fall short, Christ is able. Repent, he'll cleanse you. Get going and be blameless once again. What a glorious Savior we serve. Love you all. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Check out the Ecclesia gatherings. We're here to help you walk blameless for the kingdom of God. Till next time, thanks for listening. And may God be praised.